व्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet nashtaprayesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 26। यस्य साक्षात् भगवती ज्ञानदीपप्रदे गुरौ मर्त्यासद्धि श्रुतं तस्य सर्वं कुञ्जरशौशवत्। यस्य साक्षात् भगवती ज्ञानदीपप्रदे गुरौ मर्त्यासद्धि श्रुतं तस्य सर्वं कुञ्जरशौचवत्। यस्य साक्षात् भगवती ज्ञानदीपप्रदे गुरौ मर्त्यासद्धि श्रुतं तस्य सर्वं कुञ्जरशौचवत्। Yesya, one who sakshat directly Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jnana Deepa Prade, who enlightens with the torch of knowledge, Guru unto the spiritual master. Martya asat dhi. Considers the spiritual master to be like an ordinary human being and maintains such an unfavorable attitude. Shrutam Vedic knowledge. Tasya for him. Sarvam everything. Kunjara Shauchavat. Like the bath of an elephant in a lake. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Purport. It is recommended that one honor the spiritual master as being on an equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshat dharitvena samasta shastraihi. This is enjoined in every scripture. Acharya mam vijaniyat. Vijaniyat. One should consider the Acharya to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In spite of all these instructions, if one considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being, one is doomed. His study of the Vedas and his austerities and penances for enlightenment are all useless, like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant bathes in a lake quite thoroughly, but as soon as it comes on the shore, it takes some dust from the ground and strews it over its body. Thus, there is no meaning to the elephant's bath. One may argue by saying that since the spiritual master's relatives and the men of his neighborhood consider him an ordinary human being, what is the fault on the part of the disciple who considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being? This master should never be considered an ordinary man. Oh, this will be answered in the next verse, but the injunction is that the spiritual master should never be considered an ordinary man. One should strictly adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master, for if he is pleased, certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadan na gati kutopi. So, what is the fault on the part of the disciple who considers the spiritual master as an ordinary human being? This will be answered in the next verse. So we'll have to wait till tomorrow. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Kora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, from a context perspective, well, the previous verses are talking about certain qualities to develop. Freedom from envy, development of transcendental knowledge, caring for other living entities, avoiding the obstacles by curbing sense gratification, practicing yoga, developing the mode of goodness, the whole long list. Where do these qualities come from? In one sense, they have to be inherent. The soul, by nature, has all the good qualities. But those good qualities are so hidden under the thick covering of ignorance that they don't manifest. Just as coal, which is not burning, there is some fire in it, but you don't see the fire. It is covered by smoke or ash. Yata dhumrena niyate vanir. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is describing how the quality of the soul is covered by lust, and he gives three grades. Yatha dhume na avyarate avrate vani. Vani means fire. Just as smoke or ash covers fire. The incense stick is burning. You don't see the fire. But if you blow some air on it, immediately the smoke dissipates and you see the fire. Or a piece of coal, if you were to blow or fan it, suddenly you see the fire that's inside manifest. Correct? Otherwise you don't see. It's gray color. It looks charred. All you have to do is fan it a little bit. And then he says another degree. Yatha malo darpena. Just as there is dust on a mirror. And yatha garbhena avrate ulbana. Just as the womb, it covers the embryo. Of course, when a pregnant woman is walking, you can tell. We can tell only in an advanced stage of pregnancy. The first trimester, no one can tell. But still, there is an embryo that's covered by the womb. It's there, but no symptoms of life manifest. Even if you blow some air or wipe it with a cloth, you can't find the symptoms of life in an embryo that's inside a womb. So these are three grades of, or three analogies given to show the degrees of lust or ignorance that covers these qualities of the soul. The inherent quality of the soul is love for Krishna. That's hidden. So what is it? What is the medium, or who is the medium that brings those qualities out in the first place? It's not the demigods. It's not karma. It is the spiritual master. Only the spiritual master can awaken the dormant love for Krishna. No one else can. No one else is empowered to do it. The demigods cannot do it. The professors cannot do it. Karma cannot do it. Good weather cannot do it. Beautiful scenery cannot do it. Nothing can do it except the spiritual master. He is the only person, or I should say in plural, spiritual masters. The devotees performing the function of Siksha and Diksha gurus, only they have, even Vartma Pradakshaka to some extent, only they have the ability to awaken a soul back to Krishna consciousness. No one else has it. It's a very, very, very specially empowered position. And that empowerment is such that Krishna says that the spiritual master is as good as me. And that's the verse Prabhupada's quoting. Acharya mam vijaniyat. One should know that the Acharya is as good as me. There's no difference. Of course, our philosophy is simultaneous oneness and difference. But Krishna says, I consider the spiritual master as good as me. Whatever he says, you should take as what I am saying. So we sing every morning, Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastra. So the word for word is Sakshat, which appears here, Yasya Sakshat. So Sakshat means directly, or in personage. If Krishna were to manifest here, we say, Sakshat Bhagavan, Krishna has manifested. When the spiritual master comes, we say, Krishna has appeared in my house. It doesn't mean that he is Krishna, but he is the carrier of Krishna's message, who is as good as Krishna. So the verse is Sakshat Hari Tvena, Haritva. Haritva means possessing the quality of. The prefix tva means having the quality of. So we say tatva, which means truth. Tatva, having the quality of that truth. Or we say sakshat haritva, having the quality of the Supreme Lord. Or having all the empowerment of the Supreme Lord for that function to do. So sakshat haritvena, and it's not, Prabhupada says in the lecture, it's not my opinion or his opinion or their opinion. Samasta shastra, all scriptures. All scripture includes the Bible, the Quran, the whatever books, the Jew, the Torah. You pick any scripture anywhere in the world, and this principle, including Buddhism, the spiritual master is the representative of God. To samasta shastra. Ukta, all the scriptures say. They say one thing, that the spiritual master must be considered as good as God. And when one considers that way, then whatever fanning the spiritual master does removes the ignorance. And one who doesn't consider like that, which is the verse, sometimes instructions are given with negative examples. The verse could have said, everyone should consider the spiritual master as good as God, and one will become purified. Correct? But in this verse, it gives the opposite. One who doesn't consider like that, his Vedic knowledge is considered to be the bathing of an elephant. You're given a negative example to understand something better. Therefore, it's described that in stories, Puranic stories, movies, books, you have a hero and you have a villain. And when you read about the villain, you actually start liking the hero. Because the villain shows you all the things you're not supposed to do. And the hero shows you all the things you're supposed to do. So both examples are for our appreciation of the hero. So this guy is the lusty, arrogant, or whatever. And the hero is always the nice, kind. Because these qualities, they resonate more with the soul. The rebellious, sometimes we think, hey, I relate more to the villain. Yeah, that's the problem. And the whole process of spiritual development is to change that, to transform us. So, on Sunday, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying, it's not how you serve, it is not what service you're doing that's important, but the most critical thing is for whom we are doing this service. If that's not clear, then the full advantage of that service doesn't manifest. One should be conscious, I'm doing this for Krishna because it's the order of my spiritual master. That if my spiritual master is pleased, I'm confident Krishna is pleased. So this purport, Prabhupada is emphasizing just one point, that one who considers the spiritual master to be an ordinary human being, and that is the trick, because he is a person in flesh and blood. And we see sometimes, oh, he's forgetting something, or seemingly makes mistakes. But we should not consider him ordinary. He is a representative of Krishna. And one who considers him as ordinary, his study of the Vedas, his austerities and penances are like the bathing of an elephant. And it's not like 5% of his Vedic study is useless, or 10% or 50% of his Vedic study is useless. The verse says, Sarvam Kunjara Shaucham. His entire knowledge, his entire austerities, his entire penances, whatever seemingly credit he has, is all useless. It's not a part is good and a large part is bad. Everything useless. It is as useless as decorating a dead body and expecting it to be alive. It doesn't work. Dead body is dead body. You can decorate it nicely. It looks very nice. In fact, some dead people look more peaceful when they were alive. When they were alive, they're all the angry, and they're beating people up, and they're, you know, very, very horrible. But when they're dead, they're so peaceful, like, wow. You know, nicely dressed up in suit, decorated with flowers. Some people are better dead in that sense. But that has no value. Their being peaceful at that point has no value. All dead people are peaceful, except the ghosts. All dead people are peaceful. But that peace has no value. Similarly, having knowledge, and they can say this and they can say that, and they may have a thorough sense of all the nuances, but if love for Guru is not there, it's useless. Has no value at all. Prabhupada many times exposed, and there are so many stories about the uselessness of knowledge in the absence of love for Guru. So one should carefully consider that along with development of knowledge, because academically we can pick up verses, we can learn verses, we can learn their meanings, we can explain it as well. All that is skill, it can be done. But potency comes from love. The potency to touch another person's heart doesn't come from knowledge. The potency to touch another person's heart only comes when our heart is touched by Guru's grace. I would say His divine grace. Unless one has love for Krishna, love for Krishna in the form of love for one's guru or gurus, it cannot touch anyone else. People may say, very impressive talk, very impressive whatever that activity they have performed, but in their own heart, there is no attraction. It won't awaken. On the other hand, a person who has genuine affection for their spiritual master, whatever little they do, it immediately attracts another person to, what is it? Can I also do? Because service is what awakens service. A service attitude awakens service attitude. So I've been hearing something from Mahabharata for the past few days. And one of the things that's a recurring theme is the difference between, which is what we've been talking here as well, the difference between having knowledge, being an expert, and having the right devotional mood. One can have great skill, The discussion is about Karna and Arjuna. And Karna has great skill, in fact, skill greater than Arjuna's. Not only is he skilled, but he's also expert. Very, very good at archery and warfare. But no love for Guru. That is missing for him. And because it is missing for him, he is always looking for a materialistic advantageous situation. Throughout his life, Karna is always, sometimes he's misunderstood as like a very great fellow, but he is a crook inside and out. In fact, it was described that Duryodhan is actually a better person than Karna. Because Duryodhan is very open. I do not like Vedic principles. I do not like Dharma. I will not follow Dharma. I like to punish my cousins and I will do it. At least he is open about it. Karna, in the guise of being a very nice guy, is even worse. He has very, very strong materialistic ambitions. But it is only surfacial or superficial. So Karna is never given any credit by Vyasadev. The later commentators, the modern folks who always look at him as the underdog, they glorify him and they make movies about him. But he's not, because the character is not strong. Same with Ekalavya, others. And so it's important. For us in our tradition, when Srila Madhavendra Puri was in his final days of his pastimes, both Ishwara Puri and Ramchandra Khan, Ramchandra Puri, they had come to serve him. And both did very, very menial service. They were great scholars. Krishna's pastimes would manifest in their heart. They could see, they could participate in those pastimes. Although Ishwara Puri's standing is such, he did very menial service, like cleaning the stool and urine of the spiritual master, cleaning the room and taking care of his body, Madhavendra Puri's. And he did his service. And Madhavendra Puri had reached such a height of spiritual advancement that he started speaking verses of lamentation. Hai Deena Dayadra Dayala Nath Hai. That's that famous verse. Which is basically a sense of feeling very Deena, a super level of humility. And so that humility is combined with devotional lamentation. My dear Krishna, will I ever see you? I am so wretched. You hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, right? Gopinath. And then he gives a whole list of all his bad qualities. And then he writes a song, Amara Jeevan Sada Papirata. My whole life, every moment, I've only committed horrible sins. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a devotional feeling, sense, because in front of Krishna, one feels dirty and unclean, because look at my heart, Krishna, you are the purest. When I stand in front of you, oh, so dirty, so horrible, because that is true. That's in one sense it's true. Anyone who has a material body is dirty. Dirty inside and outside. So he used to recite these verses again and again, Ai Deena, like that. And Ramchandra Puri instructed his spiritual master, why are you singing like this? You should concentrate on Brahman. You should understand you're not this body. Madhavendra Puri became so angry. He told him, get out of here. I don't want to see your ugly face. Anyone who sees you will lose everything. Just go away. So what happened is, unfortunately, Ramachandra Puri saw his spiritual master and considered him ordinary. Instead of understanding his devotional ecstasy, he thought he's an ordinary person and actually instructed his guru. And that offense carried to such a degree that later he started offending Lord Chaitanya. So here's the, I guess, the 1, 2, 3 downfall. One who offends the devotees will in turn offend the guru and in turn will offend Krishna. Because offense only keeps growing. It doesn't reduce if it's not checked by proper surrender and submission and menial service. One who's not checking one's inability to offend the Vaishnavas, one day will offend the guru also. And it is, there's a song that even if one offends Krishna, still one can overcome that offense by chanting of the holy name, by the grace of a Vaishnava. But one who offends a Vaishnava, even Krishna does not help. There is no respite. Only falling at the feet of that devotee and begging for forgiveness is the only method. There is nothing else that will work. Now we know the story of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. So I'm going to fast forward through its story. That when Durvasa Muni reached Vaikuntha and the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra was growing, Durvasa Muni begged, "Please forgive me. I offended your devotee. Please forgive me." And Lord Narayan says, "Sorry, I cannot help you. I am helpless. Because I am surrendered to my devotees. So if they forgive you, great. I cannot help you." There is nowhere that God says, "I am helpless. This is the only place I am helpless. Because it's my devotee you have offended." And among all categories of devotees, the guru is considered like the topmost, because he's the direct Sakshat Bhagavati. So very, very important to not consider. So in the Padma Purana, there is a reference. Arche Guru Siladhi Naramati Sa Pashandi. One who considers the deity of Krishna to be stone. Arche Guru. Arche is the deity. Guru Siladhi Naramati. Shila means stone. Shiladhi is if your mentality is that we see the deity as stone, or you see the spiritual master as Nara, as an ordinary human being. So Pashandi is an idiot. Pashandi is a stronger meaning actually. Not only idiot is, one can be foolishly idiotic. Pashandi is like consciously idiotic. Is a crook. So Pashandi. So nothing sticks to that person. And therefore it's the analogy of an elephant bathing in a lake. Fellow will roll in water, splash himself with nice water, comes out, even the pachyderm looks nice, squeaky clean. The first thing he will do is come out, after he's clean, take a bunch of dirt and spray himself. All that bathing, wasted. So as soon as one's mentality moves from seeing the guru as worshipable representative of Krishna to something ordinary or someone ordinary, all of one's learning vanishes. But it's not like they'll forget a shloka. I can't remember that shloka. It's not like that. One may remember the shloka. One can even remember the meaning of it. One can even explain it.
but no realization. One's heart becomes vacant of realization. One may be filled with knowledge, but no realization. And one who doesn't have realization cannot traverse through life and become successful in life. This is the difference between knowledge and realization. Knowledge, anywhere it's available, as we joke sometimes, one can get knowledge from Sri Srimad Googlacharya. You can Google and get answers to anything. But no, Googlacharya cannot give realization. Realization only Guru can give. How? By engaging us in service to Krishna. Google will even say, serve Krishna. But nothing, no. Therefore he said, Acharya, one who has to teach us properly. That's the difference. Realization is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana Mukta Sangasya Jayate. Without that realization, one cannot become free. That's the verse. And then tomorrow, there's an explanation. Why? Why Narada Muni? The question Prabhupada raises, why would some, what is the problem if the disciple considers the spiritual master as ordinary when the spiritual master's relatives and neighbors see him as ordinary? The spiritual master's parents will say, hey, we know him. We've seen him since a child. He used to run here and there. He used to steal a few cookies, whatever. But when the disciple says, oh, all his friends think he's ordinary, what's the problem if I think so? And the answer to that is in tomorrow's verse. Okay, any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning the past time Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. Now I remember joking with a few devotees about that. We usually like to put ourselves in the category of the good guy, Ambarish. And usually, you know, we like to, other devotees to apologize to us. And it's funny, in those past times, Ambarish, he didn't desire any apology. You know, he was like, please don't apologize for me. And me and Wanda devotee, Raksak and Gokulananda were joking if that was us. We were like, yes, now my greatness has been revealed. So my question is basically, in regards to this pastime, is that Durvasa Muni, he had impetus to apologize. Lord Vishnu said, I'll cut off your head. And so also Haridasa Kaur and Gopal Chakravarti, he got leprosy because he offended Haridasa Kaur. So he had impetus. Now, the Lord, he may not try to cut off our head, but he may cut us off from prima donna, or he may not give us leprosy, but he may give us the disease of dissatisfaction. So my question is, how do we know, essentially, if we're committing aparas? That's a very apparent impetus to apologize. I'm going to cut off your head, or I'm going to give you leprosy. But we may not have such a impetus. So how do we distinguish whether or not we're making offenses?
Very simple. One has no taste for chanting Hare Krishna. One has no taste for serving the Vaishnavas. One has absolutely no taste for anything in the devotional process. One may just go through it mechanically, or because there is social pressure. What will others think of me? What will I do? I have to get a job. It's better here, whatever. Whatever it is that can hide it. But internally, one has absolutely no taste for anything devotional. Heart does not move even a micron when something devotional is available. It's like the idea of adding dust or dirt back on is the throwing of or inviting ignorance back and covering whatever is the quality of the soul that even a little bit might be manifesting. It's like covering coal with a bunch of ash and dirt. The fire may be there, but it can't manifest. It progressively kills or regresses us back into materialistic pursuits. That's the problem. We may not get beheaded. Sometimes getting beheaded is a little easier. It's easier to get beheaded because it stops and then you get another chance. But the loss of taste, devotees look ordinary, it's the same kirtan, it's the same deity, it's the same devotees, it's the same, it's the boring, one after the other. And then one doesn't value the association, one doesn't value anything. Prasadam, the value of prasadam, for example, right? Then the value of Mahaprasad and the value of anything you get in a restaurant or store becomes equal. This is food, that's food. What's the problem? And what is worse is sometimes that food is better. then something's not right. Some discrepancies. And the first thing to look at is how am I situated in my relationship with Guru and Krishna? That's the first place. And fix that. Everything else gets downstream, gets fixed. Somewhere, one may be negligent or not fully full throttle connected to Guru. One may be connected to Guru in a very formal sort of way. Ah, my spiritual master, wonderful, rah, rah. But it's the heart level that may need a little bit more connection. Subhal Prabhu. Hey, look who's here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I was just thinking, what would be the position of a disciple of a spiritual master that circumstantially is falling from the position of a spiritual master? In terms of, for the time being that it was properly situated and now it's not, you know.
Nothing happens with a disciple. If the disciple is sincere, Krishna protects. Krishna provides shelter in different ways. In the purport to Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse 10. Esham satato yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Prabhupada writes, for someone who is unable to access the spiritual master, then Krishna personally in the heart helps. The connection of Guru is not the person per se. Guru Tattva, it's the empowerment that makes a person perform that service. And if that person deviates from their position of servant of Krishna, then the Guru Tattva principle will not manifest in them. It's not the person per se, it's the empowerment that acts through that person. And if the persons are not a fit instrument, then that principle won't act. Of course, the principle is manifest in a person. It's not impersonal in that sense. It's the person who performs the role of guru. And as soon as they whatever fall or whatever happens, then the same empowerment doesn't manifest through them. So Krishna then manifests it through someone else. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, fourth chapter, first verse, evam parampara praptam imam rajashriyo viduhu. In that he says, sa kale neham mahat yoga nashta parantapa. Yoga nashta is that when one breaks one's link or connection to Krishna, then that descending mercy doesn't flow anymore. So one can't feel Krishna or access Krishna in that particular descending line. And our connection is that immediate person. So that then Krishna will establish it through someone else.
sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puranatah puratanah bhaktosi me sakhacha iti rahasyet uttamam. Rahasyam hi etat uttamam. Now, because you are my friend and devotee, I am re-establishing this connection through you. Is that okay? It's the same. We see a little bit like that in the world around us. Let's say some elected government official. As long as they're performing their function, the public gets all the benefit from him or her. And when something happens and they have to be removed from the position, then that person itself cannot do anything for the public because they're not in that position anymore. Someone else is provided the position and the empowerment to do then public good. Supposedly public good, but as an example. That person may still be alive, the one who's been impeached may still be alive, but they can't benefit people. That's how I feel. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.